Hi, everybody. I'm Kimberly. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I think it would be a great just to start with a serenity prayer right now. God, grant us the
Your
serenity
serenity
to
to
accept
accept the
things
things
I
that are
cannot
not changed,
change, the
courage
courage
to
to
change
change
things
the
that I
faith to
can,
strike high,
and
and
the
the wish
wisdom to
to
know
know the
difference.
difference. And then just before I get started, Dan probably knew this, but when you say show three people coming in, boom, 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 and you don't know who they are, start locking the room down. So anyway, and if you're listening to this on a recording, you missed all the excitement. So I am Kimberly. I'm a compulsive overeater. I am grateful to be here. I have been in OA for not quite 37 years yet. I've been abstinent since September of 1986. I was a fat toddler, a fat grade schooler, a fat high schooler. I graduated from college fat. I lost 50 pounds the summer before I went to college. I gained every pound back by the time I came home for October break that same year. And at that point, I just really gave up on trying to lose weight, and I just tried not to gain anymore. I obsessed about losing weight, but I didn't have at least at this point, I can't think of having a had another diet in me. I'll just 37 years. I came in at 28. There's a lot of before I could share with you, but I think the pictures do a nice job. You see me there in grade school, and then those two other pictures are right before or after I graduated from college. My weight increased from there, but I had very few pictures at that point. And here, I love these two after pictures. So the one in the disco outfit, my stepdaughter held a party, a disco themed party, and I bought this outfit. It came in one package at the party store, and I was going to wear the top and the scarf, but not the slacks. I was going to wear it with sensible black slacks because my thighs are not something that I ever want to feature. So, but I put on the pants for just for kicks, and I'll be darned if I didn't wear those things to the party. And I think that's as much a testament to my recovery and my acceptance at that point, because in my mind, I'm not good enough if I am not a Twiggy, right? So I don't know if you're young, you may not know who Twiggy was, but a skinny person. But I was okay with that. And then the other picture is what I look like pretty much today with my post-pandemic hair color. So, if you're like me, I think pictures help anyway. So fast forward to 1986. I had graduated from college. I had moved to France because I was a, had been a French major. I've been living in France for a while. It was, I will say, when I have a, more than 15 minutes, there's, I would tell you more about being a fat person and an obese person in Paris. But I heard about OA while I was living there. I read a book. I saw an ad in the church newspaper. And I went to the meeting and I heard about OA and I began my journey of recovery. I went to meetings. I got a food sponsor, a food plan, got abstinent. And then, in my short version, fast forward, my third or fourth month, I lost my abstinence. And I realized I really couldn't ignore the steps or the big book anymore. Now, if you've been around a long time, you know that in the 80s, we did not have a lot of OA literature, and certainly not in France. So I asked the one of the big book people to sponsor me. I got started on the steps. And I went through the steps the first time with a couple different sponsors, and then I've been through them many times over the years in my personal work with sponsors and working with sponsees and workshops. I will tell you, no steps, no recovery. That's really, you could sum up my thoughts right there, four words. No steps, no recovery. I am maintaining, I think I said, a 65-pound weight loss. I am far more often than not liberated from the desire to eat my alcoholic foods or to do some alcoholic eating behaviors. And that is entirely thanks to working the steps. I believe that the same person will eat again. If I don't change, I will eat again. And the steps are the change process. Everything else, the tools, the slogans, everything else is designed to help me work and live in the steps. And I saw in the format that it looks like when there's not a speaker, you read from Voices of Recovery. So I thought I would go through and find some of my favorite passages out of Voices of Recovery and just speak to them and qualify for them. So, and I'll mention the date, but I don't want to read them. But on February 14th, it says, I need to continue to practice the step principles daily so that I may remain free of the bondage to food. And for me, that is really true. If I am working my steps or trying to live in the step principles, I really don't have a lot of food thoughts. And if I do, I kind of laugh at them like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, oh, sure, you can eat the rest of this, right? The steps keep me free of that bondage. And March 15th, it talked about applying the steps to my daily living. And when I do that, it changes my life, and that the need to eat compulsively leaves. And I think for me, that is really the great thing. You know, in the early days, as I was getting abstinent, I sometimes often had food thoughts. And I would, one, try to apply the steps, but two, I would also try to equate eating my alcoholic foods, I would try to equate that to eating poison. So I lived in Paris. Imagine Paris. There are pastry stores everywhere, beautiful windows, just like in the movies with all the beautiful poison. I almost said treats. And so I would look at the poison with chocolate on it, and I would say, that's dog poop on that. I don't want to eat dog poop. I was 28. I might have used another. I probably said marred. It's dog marred. But anyway, I would look at the stuff with white poison on it, nice powdered white poison, and I would say, that's arsenic. I would never eat anything with arsenic or with arson. And I tried to equate that to poison, because for me, eating my alcoholic foods is like eating poison. And I had read in another book, not an OA approved book, but it talked about thinking the drink through. And they gave the example as an AA or an alcohol related book. And it talked about thinking the drink through rather than thinking, oh, how pretty the bar is and it's clean and people are happy and chatting and the glasses are tinking as they toast, and think it through to the next morning where there's crap all over the floor, somebody's thrown up in the bathroom. Think the bite through. Don't let myself imagine any potential good of coming at. So I would say, oh yeah, that would be good. And then I would gain 50 pounds back in 3 months, like I did in college, and my teeth would get more cavities. Do you know, I have a mouthful of lead or whatever it is. It's probably not lead, but silver from all those cavities. And I haven't had a cavity since I've been abstinent. So just saying. Anyway, there are a couple of them that reminded me of a very useful mantra I've come to, I think I created, and it's STST. What step, tool, slogan, or tradition apply? And where, I'm looking to see, where are my notes? So in the August 12th reading, it talks about, when tempted, I ask God to help me reach for more recovery than more food. And for me, when I'm tempted, I don't always stop and say, I should stop and ask God to help me reach for more recovery. When I'm tempted, my head's exploding, kind of like I felt when those three doofuses came on earlier. My pulse races a little bit. And if I can ask myself what step, tool, slogan, or tradition apply, that helps the pulse slow down and it helps me reach for more recovery than for more food or for my character defects. And I should have set my own timer. So would you let me know when I have 5 minutes left? Is that now? Okay. So what I had one day that a situation happened and it was very bad news for me at work, very bad news for me and my boss and my team, and my head was exploding and my dear brave program husband asked me what step applied. I think I had something really choice to say, like, what step applies? This is gonna kill me. I'm not gonna get my job done. And he sighed and he looked at me and he said, well, is there, I don't know, something else? And it just over the next few weeks, I got to asking myself when a problem came up, and here, how is this? And on August 30th, it said in Voices, when my mind is racing over the same problem, God could say, God, take this problem from me. And I could say, what step, tool, slogan, or tradition apply? And that gets my brain from obsessing, gets it off of obsessing about the problem so I can get somewhat in the vicinity of a solution. And for me, that has been really helpful. If recovery 101 is working the steps the first time through, getting abstinence, then recovery 201 is being able to practice the principles when life hits the fan. Because I will tell you, in 37 years, life has hit the fan, on work stuff. My father collapsed and was in a persistent vegetative state for over 3 years. Other deaths in the family, getting laid off, right? Life hits the fan. And sometimes I can stop and pray and say, God, please take this from me. And sometimes when my head's exploding, it really helps me to ask myself what step applies or what tool applies or what slogan applies. Once in a while, I'll throw tradition in there just so I can sound like I'm Miss OA by talking about the traditions. And one of the great ways that doing that is it one great ways of doing that is to do in like literature roulette, just opening a book, not opening a book, and doing and then reading what comes up here. And October 10th of the Voices, oh, thank you, says, I have noticed that the people who remain in recovery are people who continue to give service. And I will tell you that in 2005 at the World Service Convention in your region, it was in Philadelphia that year. Downtown, and one of the speakers talked about giving more service, and that's a whole nother 15 or 20 minutes. But it really doing a higher level or more service outside of my comfort zone. I'd like doing all like the hostess service kind of stuff. That's in my comfort zone. Let's throw a workshop. Let's have a marathon. But go to region. My first region assembly, by the way, was also in Region 7. So go to World Service, be on the region board. Oh, be sure and tell Rob I talked to you about getting on the board and doing service on the board. Just kidding. But doing service keeps me here. And I think that that is probably a good place to close. Although I will say, I lost my place here, that there is a reading in the four today that I think sums it all up. And that is, where'd I go with it? Well, I can't find it now. So I'll quote from the big book, and that is, nothing will so much ensure immunity from foodaholism as intensive work with other compulsive overeaters and doing service. And a friend of mine says, it's not optional. It is the 12th step. Thanks.